1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. William Renick, who is the pastor of Joyful Union Congregation, is joining us to talk about biblical tithing as we once again explore the mysteries of the Bible here on the Phil Henry Show. And this is a Bible Wednesday. And Pastor Renick, how are you?
I'm very good, Phil. Thank you.
All right, Pastor Renick, tithing. The Bible tells us to tithe, does it not?
The Bible tells us in Genesis that we must tithe. And I'll give you the exact quote. This is in Genesis 28. Verse 22, this memorial pillar will become a place for worshiping God, and I will give God one-tenth of everything he give me. Now, that is one-tenth of everything you make, and the problem we have had at Joyful Union, and we have had to re-educate our people, is that one-tenth of your gross is not one-tenth of your net. We realize that many in our congregation have been tithing 10% of their net.
Oh, okay, so you had a problem that your congregation, the people were giving you stuff, they were giving you money that was one-tenth of the net?
One-tenth of the net out of their check, as opposed to one-tenth of the net out of their one-tenth of the gross. And you won't get to heaven if you give 10% of the net. You will get to heaven if you give 10% of the gross. Net is a recent creation. Gross is biblical. And in order to ensure that we are getting the gross, what we decided to do, Phil, was we would check people's pay stubs on Sunday morning and make sure that that was what we were getting. We can see what to expect if we see a pay stub.
All right. So at Joyful Union, what you're doing now, and a lot of these churches who want you to tithe 10%, and if you guys don't know what tithing is, it means donating 10% of your income to your church. According to Pastor Renick, that's in the Bible. You're checking pay stubs.
We are checking pay stubs. Yes, we are. And you can go to another church, but you can never going to wind up going to heaven. What we've also suggested people do is some kind of direct deposit where every 2 weeks the money automatically comes out of your account directly into the church account. And that's one way of doing it. You can have a direct deposit every month, but you have got to make sure that it's one-tenth of your gross, not one-tenth of your net, because you are not, it's not me that didn't get it, it's God's not getting that. And that was upsetting to us.
All right, I know that it was upsetting to you insofar as the Bible specifies one-tenth of one's earnings. But isn't that kind of a voluntary thing?
What is voluntary about the Bible? You know?
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, the fact that you're checking pay stubs, if you're looking at people's pay stubs...
What we did, Phil, is we decided that we could, it would be a lot more expedient. And it would save time if we looked at pay stubs at the door. And that way we know whether or not we can admit somebody to the church.
And would you keep somebody out?
We would keep them out if they did not have a pay stub, yes.
You keep them out of church if they don't have a pay stub. Do you keep them out of the church if you look at their pay stub, and let's say a guy makes, $1,000 a week.
All right, that is $100 a week.
So if a guy's making $1,000 a week, you're taking $100 of that money a week.
$100 a week. We're taking $52,000 a year, we get $5,200. A man make $100,000 a year, we get $10,000. But a man make $1,000,000 a year, we get $100,000. Everything is 10% of the gross. So that after taxes, if you make $100,000 a year...
And all right, let's say you're making $100,000 a year and you're taking home $60,000.
Then we still get... We get 10% off the gross.
Okay, so a guy takes home 60 G's... Of that 60, he's got to give you 10. He's making 50.
But that is money that is fixed. It goes to God's house. And it's also money that is biblically mandated. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Biblically mandated. You give me 10% of the gross, not the net. Hell, I told the church 10% of the net. Go down under when you got 15%, your outlay on overhead alone. I mean, that hurts. That burns coming out. That's going to bring you to your knees. Now, I got it. I'm taking my church. We've got the daycare center. I got senior services. in order to assist the congregation, and given we have installed ATMs in the chapel in case a church member forgets to bring cash. But I will tell you this, and you better believe it, you are not going to stick it to me. Come into my church, you make 10% of the gross, or you don't show up at all.
Why are you angry?
Huh?
Why are you so angry?
Because I have seen in recent years a lot of black churches burned to the ground in the South. A lot of other black churches going bankrupt.
Well, you're acting like this is a civil rights crusade. You know, like those churches that were burned in the South might have been burned by people who had some sort of racist intent. This is a monetary thing. And
I think that black churches are under assault. That's what I tell every brother and sister comes in here. You bring me 10% of the gross. And they're sticking it to me. They're sticking it to God.
All right, Pastor.
You don't stick it to God. You want to stick it to me, that's fine. I'll bend over and I'll smile, too. But you try to stick it to God Almighty.
Right. You're making a mistake.
You're making a mistake. That's right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation is with us.
Phil, I don't mean to be upset about all of this, but I get so tired of people going sticking their hand in my pocket. I'm bringing them the Word of God every Sunday, and they walk in and sitting their tired rear ends down after maybe they had themselves two double 40. I don't know what they're doing on a Saturday night. And they come in there, they're taking the Word of God from me for free. Bull crap. And I'll tell you this.
Hold on for a minute, Pastor. You want to get upset about this? Look, you're asking people for their money.
That's why we want that pay stub thing.
So if they don't bring a pay stub to the church,
they're sticking their hand in my pocket and they ain't putting nothing back in. They're pulling out, they ain't putting nothing back in. You know, you put your hand in my pocket, at least rub it around a little bit down there. Make me feel good, something. Good God Almighty. And I told a man...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686 is the Phil Henry Show number here. Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation talking about how people are not tithing 10% of their gross income. They're tithing 10% of the net. And as a result, you are now checking pay stubs...
Checking pay stubs, that's right.
...at the door. Well, isn't 10% of the net enough?
I'm sorry, Phil.
Isn't 10% of the net enough?
10% of the net. Hey, the Bible doesn't say this is the Word of God and you can get close enough. The Bible doesn't say it's a sin if you lay down with another man. But you know what? One night out of 365, that's okay. The Bible doesn't say you may not lay down with a woman who is not your wife. But you know what? A weekend out of town in Cancun, that's okay.
All right.
The Bible doesn't say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but for maybe two weekends out of the year, well, hell, you could be Jewish or Jain or Muslim or something like that.
But, Pastor,
the Bible doesn't say...
Hold on for a minute, okay? I know. So the Bible says that
the Bible says 10% of everything the Lord gave you, you give back.
All right. Hold one. One. Just hold on. All right.
All right.
1-800-449.
Another thing I want to
hold on. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here. Pastor William Renick is on the line from Joyful Union. Are you at the office there, Pastor Renick?
I'm renovating our office, Phil. Yeah.
You've been renovating that office for the last year. Every time I'm talking to you, you're moving stuff.
We are. I continue. I get 10% of the net. I'll be renovating for the next 10 years. You start giving me 10% of the gross, maybe I can get this damn job done.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. This is Ron on the Phil Henry Show. Ron?
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Pastor. Pastor.
Yes.
What I want to know is, do you think that if you don't give that 10%...
Wait, what church you go to?
I'm a Baptist.
All right, you know what Genesis says, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
What's it say?
I know about the 10%, but what I'm
10% of what? 10% of what? 10% of what?
Of what you make.
That's not what the Bible says. But I will give God one-tenth of everything he gave me.
Right, absolutely.
Right, when's the last time you picked up a Bible?
Hey, last night, God helps those that help themselves also, Pastor.
Well, you know, I help myself. Why don't they tithe me? I don't say I'm taking the debt. I'm taking it off the top.
Hey, take it off the top, take it off the bottom. That's why you're renovating. You know, I'm a businessman, too. I own my own company.
You're a Baptist. As a Baptist man, you know more than anything how important this is. Don't be a cheap ass. Get up, cover up the money, and don't let God come looking for you. You look for God.
Hey, God knows where to find you, Pastor.
God knows where to find
you. In a minute.
I'll tell you right now.
He'll hear you in a minute.
Hey, God, look at me. I'm trying to do God's good work. I want 10%.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
I tell you what, you come out of church. Well, you don't have to believe me. You want
to
come in our church. You bring out that damn piece of
10%.
What? Say what?
I don't believe that you're saying that you're going to go to hell if you don't pay 10% of
you. You're
going to
rot in hell. You're going to burn.
Hey,
oh, Lord.
Let me ask you something.
You're going to burn.
You don't come in. David. In hell right now?
David is not in hell. You know he is beloved of God.
Hey, let me ask you something, Pastor. Didn't he commit the adultery? Didn't he do the worst sin?
David is beloved of the Lord. But you know that God forgave David because he did not work.
Yes, he did.
That's
Pastor.
Right.
Let me ask you something, Pastor.
He is beloved of God.
Do you not think that God's going to forgive you now?
I don't think the Lord is going to forgive any man who willingly holds back on him. The Lord said I won't.
I don't believe because that's not a man of God.
Don't be playing it cheap with God.
You, Pastor,
you play the cheap with God.
Don't tell people that they're not going to go to heaven if they don't dish out every bit of that money. Because let me tell you what, God tells people where to send their money, and he don't need you to tell them.
God, no, where's he telling people to send their money?
You understand what I'm saying?
Where's he telling them to send their money?
He thinks that you need to go down the street and spend that $100 on someone that's starving to death. Please don't go down there and throw it in a church that you don't know whose clothes it's buying.
Oh, that's a lot of claptrap.
That's a whole lot of hooey.
Well, son, you know that's a whole lot of hooey. You know it.
Read the Bible tonight.
Pull your head out and take a look at the world, son. You know that's a bunch of hooey, and you know it. The good Lord knows that his church, I don't see no P.O. box in the Bible, by the way. What do you mean where I'm going to send it?
All right, look, gentlemen, very good, but I got to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick is on the line from Joyful Union Congregation. He is quoting the Bible that you tithe 10% of your gross, not your net. And he says some people have been playing it cheap, tithing 10% of the net. So he's checking pay stubs. You don't produce a pay stub, you don't get into the church. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. I got it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
You know what I mean, though, Phil, about the field trip?
Yeah, I do. Let's hold on. We got to get back into the... Pastor William Rennick is with us from Joyful Union Congregation, who he says people of tithing 10% of the net is against the Bible. You got to tithe, meaning give 10% of your gross. For those of you who don't know what that is in the Bible, there's a biblical demand that you give 10% of your income to your church. And
that's the word of God, though.
That is the word of God, according to you, according to Christians. And you say they've been given 10% of the net. And
well, they're given 10% of the net, take it on the backside. I backload a deal and come up front. Now, I'm trying to get together, as I told you, Phil, I tried to get that field trip together. I'm trying to get some L.A. Kings tickets. And we'll get 35 members of our church to go down to L.A. King night, because they'll do a Joyful Union night. And we'll give that money back to our different church charities.
And what are you doing? You're having L.A. King night?
No, we're doing the L.A. King hockey team.
Right.
Yeah, well, Joyful Union Congregation night, we can go down, get a block of seats, you know, and make a little money on the backside there for the daycare center, something for our picnic. We did the same thing with the Mighty Ducks.
It's kind of a...
What?
I don't know.
What, you think black people don't like hockey?
It just seems unusual that a black church in Bellflower is getting...
We love hockey! I love it! There, we're supposed to go out to a Laker game, is that you telling me?
Well, it just seems a little...
Oh, I see! Let the monkeys go watch them bouncing that basketball up and down the court! Bullcrap! I love hockey! Marcel Dion, all that.
Well, let's get off of hockey for a minute. And
I want to get off, tell you, the 10% of the gross.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Sherry on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Sherry, go ahead.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of a pastor would stand at the door and exact money from his congregation when the Lord gives us free will. It says in the Bible that we are to give joyfully unto the Lord. And I'll tell you, I would walk through the door of a church where I was mandatorily required. I wouldn't darken your door. And I think
you'll have to answer to
the Lord for that. That is a sacrilegious behavior. And
you
what you're using the money for is not for the great commandment. It's for entertainment.
You
I have never heard of such a thing in my whole life.
No, wait. Now, you got a lot of things wrong.
And you need to listen, too, and quit interrupting people when they call you.
You got things wrong. You are saying things wrong. I tell you, we take that money and get what entertainment? We go out to an L.A. King hockey game. Big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, big
and
deal is right. That has nothing to do with
and
the great commandment.
And you know what else is in Genesis? And God said, when you write that check, too.
I agree that people should tithe of the first fruits, which would be of the gross, but that is the only place you are right. That is to be done joyfully unto the Lord. And if you are checking paychecks
at
an ATM in your church, what in the world kind of business is that?
I'll tell you what that is.
The church is a money-making business.
That is reminding people of what their duty is to God
Almighty. Well, you and your church are an embarrassment to the Christian community.
I'll tell you what. You've never even been in my church, all right? You don't even know my church is about.
If you are telling us that this is what you do in your church, you are an embarrassment to the Christian community.
I raise money. I don't have to get on TV like what's his that guy got the hooker sucked his.
And to
okay.
get on the national airways and curse.
What did I say?
As a pastor, I'm not repeating it.
Look at I've got about
all the gentleman that's got you on his show has to do is replay the last 5 minutes.
You were swearing.
I didn't swear nothing.
Yes, you did.
Oh, that's a load. I'm saying to you right now, and I said to everybody else, 10%. Of everything you get. Now, you can sit there and say I'm a bad guy, I'm using bad language, people don't understand, I should say this, I should say that, I'm an embarrassment, this church, that church. I can get backload a L.A. cock, you can get me out there. The Kings are playing the New York Rangers tomorrow night.
Will you get it off the Kings? Here is Houston. Neil, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment. I think Jesus answered all of this. You're quoting out of Genesis, but Jesus came to clarify. Came to clarify the word of God. Did not Jesus say, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's"?
He didn't say that technically. No.
No, he did say that.
What he said was, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." And God wants 10% of everything you got.
You're a false prophet.
I'm a false prophet.
You're a separate
Satan. I'm reading the Bible. You go read. Get yourself some adult literacy, and you read the Bible, too. Now, it takes a lot of contributions to keep up our yachting and polo ministries. And
did God not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in
what's
him
that got to do
should
with
not
it?
Perish but have everlasting life?
What's that
it
got to do with
it? Does
not
say anything about giving 10% of your gross.
Yes, he did. He said, give to God.
It says, believe in Jesus Christ to be saved.
What's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
It means you are a prophet, a false prophet, my friend.
A false prophet.
You have a money changer in your temple.
I glorify
you.
You
have a money changer in your temple.
I glorify
you. Did you not say you have an ATM machine there?
Oh, why? Just because I'm trying to help the brothers and sisters make a change.
Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple.
Why the hell they got...
Oh,
the money changers out of the temple because none of them had any change.
Wow. You're claiming that Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple because none of them had any change. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right. That's why he threw them out. Walk around and says, anybody got change of a dollar? All he's got, oh, hell, I ain't got, you got to buy something first. The hell he did, he pissed them out.
Well, you keep mentioning the L.A. Kings, I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. That's Pastor William Renick. This is The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Pastor Renick, how are you doing?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
Great. I wanted to bring you on to talk about your Christmas pageant.
That's going to be on the week of the week of the 20th. That will be from Christmas time, actually, the Saturday, Sunday before Christmas. That'll go all the way through the week. And we encourage people to come to Joyful Union Congregation, Bellflower, California, for our Christmas pageant. We will reenact the life of Jesus, and more to the point, we are going to reenact the birth and the young life of Jesus Christ.
Well, you're to the point at hand, you're going to be in a diaper.
I'm not going to be in a diaper, Phil. I'm going to be wrapped in a... You see, when you begin to say things like that, people think it's a joke.
You're not in a diaper, but you're going to be laying in the manger yourself?
Yes, I am. And let me explain before you try to make a joke out of this.
I don't really want to make a joke out of it, but I do need for you to explain why you're laying in a manger wrapped in what? In swaddling clothes?
In swaddling clothes, yes. Which is a very tight shawl that is wrapped about the body from the shoulders to the feet. And the reason why I'm doing this is to show people the young life of Jesus and to show people the reality of the life of a pastor, the life of the shepherd of the flock. That is my life. As the representative of Jesus Christ.
Right.
On this earth.
Well,
And everybody. Everybody. Need to understand that if you go to church,
yeah,
standing before the flock is a man that represents the life of the blood of the Lamb. And anything I can do to bring the life of that man to my congregation, I will do.
And that includes wrapping yourself up and laying in a manger as Jesus.
That includes reenacting and creating the life of the blood of the Lamb.
Is
the life of the blood of the Lamb! He got on a cross and died for you.
Right.
Died on a cross!
Well,
nailed to a cross! Nailed to a cross! We live in a visual society. I'm sorry, Phil. I don't want to interrupt you.
Well, I just...
But I got to tell you, the only way we understand is by visual. And that's what I'm giving my congregation, a visual of Christ as a baby. I lay in a manger, lay there like the blood of the Lamb, all wrapped up in swaddling clothes, looking at the people going by. And in so doing, create the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
Later on, they nailed his ass to a cross. But on Christmas Day, with the three wise men standing there, scratching their ass, I don't know, they probably didn't know why they were there. And I'll tell you something else, Phil. The Bible says nothing about three wise men. Only one. Or two, three, four. It said the wise men.
So do you?
No, we don't have no three wise men. We got four. Because they can kiss my ass on Main Street on the county line if they think I'm going to buy into that three wise men bit. Forget it. Four.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, you can. I'm sorry, Phil. I get enthusiastic.
I understand that. But my question is, you wrapping yourself up in swaddling clothes and laying in a large manger to be Jesus, does that not mock? I don't mean that.
No, Phil, it doesn't mock Jesus.
I don't mean that to insult you, but would some people think that?
No, Jesus has a baby. No, it does not. What it does is it shows my true role on this earth. And it shows the living Lamb. My true role on this earth is as a pastor. And as a pastor, I am the representative of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm saying that as a pastor of a church, I am the only representative of Jesus Christ on this earth. You do not represent Jesus Christ. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
I do. Me. And that's why I get into the swaddling clothes. That's why we do our Christmas pageant. I do Jesus in the world of business.
That's when you wear a business suit and you're Jesus?
Yes. That's exactly right. Jesus speaks through me. Jesus was the Son of God. He was the vessel through which God spoke. Well, now Jesus is gone. Nailed to a cross. Pulled him down and stuck him in a cave. 3 days later, rolled away the stone, and he ascended to heaven. I'm the shepherd now. The church is my flock. I'm as a shepherd like Jesus is a shepherd. The only difference between me and Jesus is that if you nailed me to a cross, I'd die up there and I wouldn't be coming back.
All right, so this is Christmas week?
This will be on Christmas week, December 20th. Now, I know that there are people who think that I am mocking Jesus, as you said. These are wannabe deacons who are jealous of my creative approach to the life of Jesus.
Right.
I know it's unusual.
Well,
I know it's never been done before.
Well,
as I lay there, people are going to come by, look down and say, look at that. I'm sorry, Phil. I had Braunschweiger sandwiches and all afternoon it's been coming up. But if I want to lay in a manger and a diaper, I will. If I want to slap on a diaper, lay in a manger, stare up at someone's ugly kisser going by, who's to say I can't? I built this church with my bare hands.
Well, that's true.
That you go, oh, you GD, right? It's true. I built this church.
I know that you did, and you, you've put up with a lot to keep that church going down there.
I put up with everything to keep the church going. I had people criticizing me for the fact they can use their bank debit card to contribute to the church. I had people criticizing me because we had a very graphic exploding manger 1 year to show the perils of terrorism. I had people criticizing me because I bought a gun with a silver bullet to try to keep the werewolves at bay. One Halloween night. I had people criticizing me because I thought the best way to take a child and get her some money because her mother is a drug addict and a crack addict was to get her a breast enhancement. And maybe get that booty patted out too. Those who have the courage, those lambs in my congregation who are strong can come forward and hold me. They can hold me in their arms. And they can hold me just like they can hold Jesus Christ.
Are you preaching?
You damn right. I'm telling you what's up. You ever put your arms around Jesus? Philly, you ever done that?
No, sir.
You can at Joyful Congregation. You could come down and put your arms around the Christ. And if I'm in that manger wearing a diaper, who's to know?
Well, you are you're a passionate man.
I am a passionate man. And I'll tell you, Phil, the beauty of what we're going to be doing Christmas week is there is a flat donation, $6.95, and you will partake of Christmas week, the pageant week, the Joyful Union Congregation week, and you can put your arms around Jesus Christ. It's only $6.95. And I allow the young women to come forward and hold me so they'll know when they become a mother how to hold a baby. And I like to reference back to something that happened last year. If I get an erection, that's my business, not yours.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I appreciate you coming on with me.
I'm always very excited to be on the Phil Henry Show because I think you allow a forum that other radio shows don't allow, Phil, so I do appreciate it.
Well, I thank you very much, Pastor, and I know that Some people say that you are extreme.
Well, you know something? I don't care what people say. I only care what the Lord says. I only care what Jesus says. I only care, well, I only care about getting souls into heaven. I don't care what people who are unsaved think of me. I don't care what people who are left by the devil think of me. I allow the young mothers to lower their blouse and feel the Christ their Lord nuzzle on the great breast of motherhood. You think I care about what people think about that? You can kiss my ass on the county line of Main Street at high noon.
All right. Pastor Renick, a pleasure.
My pleasure, Phil. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Christmas week, the Christmas pageant, all the week of December. What's it, Genesis? You said December the 20th? Starts December the 20th. I think that's a Friday. All that week through Christmas at Joyful Union Congregation. It's in Bellflower, California. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jay Santos was on our program on Friday. Jay is he's a brigadier admiral with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And, of course, you can pick up one of his T-shirts at our website, philhendryshow.com. He wants a ban on Christmas trees because Christmas trees can impale babies. It could, like a branch could go right through a throat. I think he saw a guy toss a kid at a Christmas tree once, and the kid just sort of stuck there. Here's Jay.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
We can stand by as police assist organizations and not do anything and witness these emergency rooms full of children with no eyes or a child with both eyes gouged out or tree branches that have gone right through their throats. And really the most tragic Christmas I ever spent was a Christmas where we were at the home of a couple that had had an argument. And the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we were driving by in the van, we saw police agencies, we stopped, and the husband, apparently, they had had an argument. The husband had picked up a newborn child, a newborn baby, and threw the kid at the tree. And...
yeah.
And the kid's stuck on the tree with a tree branches.
Why would you laugh at that?
I'm not, Phil. I'm crying. I'm just, it's very emotional.
Good God.
The kid was stuck there like an ornament.
Well, what about fake trees? Can we get those, too?
It really doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're going to Christmas tree lots, Phil. The fake trees don't matter because they're obviously a lot more dangerous in that they are... aluminum, some of them are made out of aluminum, and a lot of them are made out of aluminum, and they're just the kinds of things that are just too dangerous, and it is a very unfortunate state of affairs still, but we are now going to different tree lots throughout the Southland, throughout the Pacific Northwest, in conjunction with the Beaver Battalion of Oregon and some of the other police agencies. And we have been given permission to do this in a variety of cities. We will stop people going in, and we will simply say, we're not going to keep you from getting Christmas tree, but we simply are going to say, are you sure you want to do this? We're just going to put a friendly grip on the forearm, just a very firm grip on the forearm, gentle enough to be friendly, but firm enough to let you know that if you try, you know, to take another step, we could go to the next level.
Well, what if people still want to go in and get a tree?
Well, you don't go in and get a Christmas tree until we're done with you. But we'll tell you when you get to go in and get your Christmas tree. We give you pamphlets with pictures that do show the dramatic reenactments of these horrible events. And, Phil, there are photographs of children with tree branches that are stuck through the throat. There are photographs of children with Christmas tree branches that are right through the abdomen. And in the instance of the kid that was just impaled on about five different branches just hanging from the tree... And I tell you, the tree branches didn't stop swinging for a couple of days, and they got photographs of that.
I understand Christmas can be hazardous.
But you don't know in what ways.
Well, you're telling me about Christmas trees.
No, I'm talking about people burning alive, being thrown from windows, people being repeatedly rammed with cars, impalement on Christmas trees, people being shoved into trash compactors, putting their fingers into paper shredders. And
is this because they're drunk?
No, they're just, they're so festive and so joyous that they're just ramming each other with cars and this kind of thing. And so we have to stop it.
Are you, you're telling me that a man gets down in front of a car and another guy rams him with the car?
Because of the festive nature of the season, right. But the most important thing are these trees. If you want to see your kid with a tree branch through his brain, then go ahead and buy a tree.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know what he means. When I'm feeling good and I'm feeling festive, I just want to repeatedly ram a guy against a brick wall with a car. And he's right. So Christmas is going to be that time of year. Be careful. Have fun. I know you're going to feel the urge to stick your hand directly into a blender and then turn it on, because I know it's that time of year. But be careful, all right? Because it is that time of year where we just want to put our faces into a floor fan. But remember that Christmas is also a time for safety, okay? The most dangerous season of the year, far outstripping the 4th of July, is Christmas. Because there's so many dangerous things that we love to do at Christmas time, and we could hurt ourselves. Like, you know, the tradition of throwing ourselves off a cliff. You know, the whole family, okay, let's go. And we just all leap down a 300-foot rock-strewn into a rock-strewn barranca. Stuff like that. So just please be very careful. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. You see the Sopranos last night? It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Do you know what happened, Craig? And all of you guys, you don't know? You know what I tell you? Well, it was actually, I thought they tied up all the loose ends, but it almost seemed perfunctory, didn't it? Okay, let's deal with Christopher's drug addiction. Okay, let's deal with the Junior's trial. Now we got to deal with Bobby Bacala and, you know, that ugly, frightening, scary sister of Tony's. If anybody needs to get whacked, it's her. Please, God, let it happen soon. I hope Bobby does it. Bobby's going to find out that she's screwing him somehow, because you know she's going to do something. She's going to rip him off or somehow do something to the poor guy. Watch what happens when Bobby finds out. He's going to take her out. She will be no more. Muerto. Muerte. You know, like that. 1-800, which one was Spanish and which one was Italian? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
And welcome to Religion on the Line, here a segment of the Phil Hendry Show where we look at spiritual and religious services throughout the country. We have with us Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation. I think it would be interesting today to talk about elder care, senior care at a lot of our churches and religious community centers across the country. And Pastor Renick, you have a large number of seniors in your congregation at Joyful Union. First of all, what kind of church are you?
We are Pentecost. We are Congregational Pentecost.
Okay. And you have a lot of seniors, and many of them, you have an elder care center there?
We've got a hospice for our senior citizens. That is care after a hospital. And we care for them at the hospice.
Well, tell us about Presence of Christ, which is the program that you have initiated.
Well, we are excited about Presence of Christ because this is a way for our senior citizens to feel that they are a part of the living body of Jesus Christ. These are people that are suffering from Alzheimer's, from glaucoma, and we would talk with so many of them, and they would tell me the same thing over and over again. Pastor Renick, I would love to see the face of Jesus.
Before they die?
Before they die, they would like to see the presence and feel the presence, the living presence of Jesus Christ. And I worried about it, and I fretted about it, and I prayed over it. And I said to God, what can I do? I'm a simple country preacher. And then I thought that I could create the illusion of Jesus visiting them. So along with members of our church, that's what we do.
So you in essence, dress up as if you're Jesus, and you visit these people, but they know that you're acting, right?
No, many of these are senior citizens still. They suffer from Alzheimer's or other degenerative diseases. They believe they're seeing Jesus Christ. And it humbles me to believe that they feel they are seeing the presence of our Lord. Believe me, I am humbled by that.
But so that you are doing this, you are appearing next to... How are you doing that? You say with the members of the theater department.
We utilize different theatrical techniques. We utilize dry ice. We utilize a camera dolly. I stand on the camera dolly, and two members pull me in, so it looks as if I am floating across the floor. So you can see it.
That's, in other words, you are creating the effect that you are really Jesus. Do you expect them to believe this?
I expect that these poor senior citizens are getting what they want. They want to see Jesus Christ. And I am a preacher, I'm a minister, I witness to the word. And so for all intents and purposes, for that very few seconds of the day, I am Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? When you got old people that are so far gone from Alzheimer's, a glaucoma, a Parkinson's disease, a brain tumor, whatnot.
Right.
And they think that I'm Jesus Christ.
Right.
Then for all intents and purposes, I am Jesus Christ.
Why are you pretending to be Jesus? If they say...
Because they say they want to see the face of our Lord. Because they say that they want to experience the face...
But you know that you're not Jesus.
I know that I'm not Jesus, Phil.
Isn't there... Let me interrupt here. Is there not something blasphemous about this?
No, there's not. Because... I'll tell you what.
Why is that?
Because I'll tell you why. Because they believe that they are being witnessed to by Jesus Christ in their mind. I don't tell them I'm Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I just let them think that I'm Jesus. And I do that, and they feel better. And for them to go out believing that they've been visited by Jesus, a wonderful thing.
All right, now you know that we had a call. My staff received the call. Robert and Marcella Woodbridge.
I bless them. They are two people that are very misled.
Well, they're members of your congregation who said that you're charging $100 per visitation or whatever, right?
I charge their father $100. Their father, Ralph Woodbridge, is dying from Alzheimer's disease, and this is a donation toward the church. This does not go to me. This is a donation toward the church, toward the maintenance of the church.
$100 so that they can see something that they think is Jesus, but it's actually you with a lot of dry ice, and you're being pulled in on a dolly.
But what we're doing, Phil, is we're giving the effect that I am Jesus. That I'm Jesus come to visit them, you see.
Yeah, but you got a lot of smoke, and you got yourself floating across the floor. But at no time do you say you're Jesus, but these old people think they're seeing Jesus, and they're paying $100 for it. And you see, this is the problem that at least this couple has, that's a very expensive visitation from Jesus.
Well, that's not some kind of secret. This costs money. And besides, as I said, it all goes to the church. $100, when you consider that I'm getting these old folks to believe that they are seeing Jesus Christ. When they die peacefully. And I will tell you, Ralph Lavelle, 87 years of age, Alzheimer's, he was dying. I came to him. I said, Ralph, you will be with me in heaven. And he cried and he thanked Jesus. He was thanking me, but he thought he was thanking Jesus. Excuse me, he thought he was thanking Jesus. The looks on their faces, these are folks, see the maker. This is a good thing.
But it's $100.
It's $100 that goes toward the maintenance of the church, right.
All right, let me give our number at 1-800-449-8686, because I want to talk to you about the maintenance of the church. Is this $100 going to a fund you've set up for the Betty Ford Clinic?
That is correct. There's no secret to that.
All right, but this is for your treatment at the Betty Ford Clinic.
I was remanded by the judge to seek alcohol counseling, Phil, because I had an unfortunate incident. I had exposed myself to some teenage girls. I was drinking. I was in the throes of something that's a terrible disease. And the judge had told me that I needed to seek alcohol counseling. which is what I'm doing now.
Well, why don't you go to a local detox or to a local alcohol counselor, or even Alcoholics Anonymous? Why the Betty Ford Clinic, which is $30,000 a week?
Because I've got to get the best care. We are not going to go to no detox. I'm not going to go to some hospital where I'm in with a bunch of other drunks. What I've got to do is seek the very best care. Now, the Betty Ford Clinic is the very best alcohol care you can get.
And well, why do you call that something that is for church maintenance?
Because it is for me. Because I don't...
Because you're a member of the staff of the church?
I'm a member of the church staff. It is for me. It's for church maintenance. It is for the church, yes. It wasn't for me, this church, and my flock would be lost.
I think $30,000 for your own personal alcohol rehab, and you're getting the money from elderly people who think that you're Jesus Christ, I think is a little bit overboard, all right?
And without me, this church would be lost. Now, you've got to listen to me.
No, I'm not a member of your congregation, and I'm not saying you're a bad guy, but I am saying...
I built this church up from the ground 1976 when I took over that church. There were four or five people who would come every Sunday to the services, and today we've got overflow crowd. Now, I've got a drinking problem. I admit that.
And you were flashing a carload of teenage girls.
I've got a drinking problem. I admit that. But I'm going to take care of that.
Are you drinking now?
I don't have the money yet to go to the Betty Ford Clinic, so currently I am still drinking, but we are raising money so that we can get the money to go to the Betty Ford Clinic.
Well, you're still drinking because there was at least one individual who said that you had bourbon on your breath when you did this Presence of Jesus thing.
That was an individual, yes, that was an individual that I apologized to.
Well, that the old guy thought that he was talking to Jesus who had scotch on his breath.
I apologize to that man's family.
That man believed that Jesus Christ was drinking bonded scotch. This is incredible. That man believed that Jesus Christ drinks bonded scotch and as a result went back to drinking himself, didn't he?
I apologize to that man's family. I have a drinking problem that I'm trying to take care of.
And the way you're taking care of it is you're charging $100 to old people who have Alzheimer's and don't know that you're not Jesus.
Mr. Henry, I have these people who are, you know, they are in the throes of glaucoma and every kind of dementia. They want desperately to see the face of the Lamb. If only you could see the presence of Christ, it's an amazing show, and I give these elderly folks a reason to take their last dying breath.
Well, I don't doubt that you're helping them, but you're also taking $100 of their money, putting it toward a...
Well, what is wrong with that for the maintenance, for my personal maintenance?
And well, you say it's for the maintenance of the church, but it's for you to go to the Betty Ford Clinic because you were flashing some teenage girls.
I told you that I've got a disease. I'm not making any bones about that. I'm not making any bones about that.
All right, I know you got alcoholism. And as a result, you flash these teenage girls, but you've not yet stopped drinking because you don't have enough money yet for the Betty Ford Clinic.
Because that's the very best. You provide a service called the Presence of Jesus. You provide the very, 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 very finest care for that individual.
Well, you got one old man started drinking again because you were drunk. You were breathing bourbon on him. And he said in a deposition here, apparently the attorneys have been hired, I thought Jesus was drinking bonded scotch.
I apologize to that family's, that man's family.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick is with us. He's got a program called The Presence of Christ, where he visits the elderly and makes them think that he's Jesus. He floats in on a dolly. He has dry eye smoke. Now, that's not so bad, but he's charging $100 for each time that he visits some old person, and that money is going into a fund that he's keeping for his treatment at the Betty Ford Clinic. Because he is an alcoholic by his own admission, a judge has ordered him into alcohol care or rehab or some kind of a rehab. Right, Janice? Is that what he told you? And he doesn't want to go anywhere but the Betty Ford Clinic. That's $30,000 a week, and the way he's raising the money is by charging these elderly people for this Presence of Christ thing. He's got some kid pulling him in on a camera dolly, dry eye smoke, and these old folks with Alzheimer's think that they're talking to Jesus. Somewhere in this, there's some kind of a scam. I can't identify it yet. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Pastor William Renick on The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I'm talking with Pastor William Renick. Pastor Renick is from Joyful Union Congregation, Bellflower, California. The Presence of Christ program is something that he came up with. He dresses up as if he's Jesus, and he visits old people with Alzheimer's and makes them think that they are seeing the face of Jesus for a $100 donation, which goes to a fund that is going to provide for his treatment at the Betty Ford Clinic, because you're an alcoholic. And you say that you flash teenage girls in your car, and you said also that...
denying the sins that I've committed. What I'm trying to say to you is we are trying to do some good and at the same time raise the money that we need for our church.
And well, the money you need for your church, as you say, is the money that you need for your treatment at the Betty Ford Clinic so you don't start running around drinking again, right?
That is correct.
And I'm just saying the Betty Ford Clinic is a very expensive proposition. Let me go to a phone call. Yvette, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
What's his name, Pastor Renick?
Pastor William Renick?
Pastor William Renick.
This is Pastor Renick, man.
Okay, you know what? You anybody, any preachers or anything that are really trying to lead people to righteousness and really trying to lead them to the way, right way of life?
That is my life.
Yeah, but that's how you're making it bad for them. And I don't know.
I'm not making that bad for them.
You know, while you're saying that they need to see Jesus before they pass away without
they have to see the face of Jesus.
You need to find God. The one and only. You need to find God.
God is my life.
If He was your life, you wouldn't be drinking because your body's a temple. That's just lent to you. Making it dirty.
I take a taste and I don't deny it. I know it.
And you know what? The temple that God has given you to use that's supposed to be pure, you're poisoning it with alcohol.
Well, apparently, okay? Pastor Renick, according to the police report, you yelled to those teenage girls, "Let me show you the body of Christ right here," didn't you?
I didn't say that I did a bad thing.
You exposed yourself and said, let me show you the body of Christ.
Are you saying to me, are both you people saying to me that I'm not allowed to help some old folks by dressing up like Jesus just because I take a taste every now and again?
But because you take a taste every now and again, God didn't take a taste every now and again. He was pure.
Jesus changed the water into wine.
Okay.
He went to the wedding of that man. He went to the reception. They're having a wedding reception.
You know what?
What the hell? Why'd you answer that phone?
I'm not answering it because I'm just sitting here listening to you, I am getting totally disgusted because it doesn't make any sense. There are so many people that really would like to know what it's like to have a life of Christ in their life or to have a life with God. You're making it bad for anyone that has the feeling that they want to serve God. You are making it bad for them because there's no way that you can have to be. You're raising money to support your habit. Why don't you just stop drinking?
No. See, you missed that. I'm raising money to get treatment at the Betty Ford Clinic.
Well, then, if you need treatment, then you don't need to be showing nobody that you're Jesus, then.
No way.
You don't need to be doing that because Jesus would never be drunk, okay?
I agree with you 100%, but I cannot give up my ministry because I take a taste every now and again.
I don't know where you get that ministry from, but you need to go and pray and ask God to help you.
I've scheduled up that 6 months out. These old folks want to see Jesus, and they paid up for it, too.
Give them their money back. Give them their money back.
Right, give them their money back.
I can't give them their money back. I want to see the face of Jesus.
Know what? That's ridiculous. They're seeing the face of the devil before they die. That's so
sad. These people die, they've got smiles on their faces, and they look peaceful and everything. They say, thank you, Jesus.
And I thought you said to me, Pastor Renick, that you don't believe you're Jesus, nor are you saying that you're Jesus, but these people are saying, thank you, Jesus, and you're saying you're welcome?
Right.
Yeah, I do that, yeah. But I didn't say I'm Jesus.
Well, then what are you saying you're welcome for?
I'm being polite.
That don't make no sense.
Yvette, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to
be on the... I'm getting very upset. So
thank you for your
up.
Call. 1-800-449-8686. Roger, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, Roger. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I'm saying, you know, the way he talks to these people about trying to get him some help.
Hey, Roger, turn your radio down for me, too, will you, please?
All right, hold on.
Yeah, you need to turn that down.
Give me some help. Brother, I'm getting help at the Betty Ford Clinic as soon as I raise up the money for it.
Okay, now you talking about you going to a clinic, okay?
Yeah.
You got these people paying for the clinic. Them people don't need the help. You need the help on that clinic.
Yeah.
Okay? Now you supposed to be acting like you supposed to be Jesus.
Okay, and that's right. I'm play action. I'm Jesus. Are you there? The brother, you there? But the brother's faded out or something. I think his car phone faded out or something like that.
Roger, are you gone? All right, well, we'll stay with you there, Roger. Anyway, Roger, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we lost you for a minute.
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, go.
Brother, what I'm saying to you is I'm raising up money so I can go to the Betty Ford Clinic and take care of my drinking problem.
You cannot take care of no drinking problem by getting out somebody else. How you take care of your problem by yourself?
What you
don't try to act like you Jesus, and you know you're not Jesus.
I know I ain't Jesus. I ain't saying I.
But you're making the old people think you're Jesus.
But they're old people. They got Alzheimer's. They don't have, either they think I'm Jesus or they think some guy mopping the floor is Jesus.
Listen to what you say. Them old people got Alzheimer's, right?
They got that Alzheimer's disease. Yeah.
Okay. Now you try to take that for advantage because the old people got Alzheimer's.
Sorry.
You get that age, then what other people do you like? That's what you're
saying,
people.
Brother, what I'm saying to all them old people, I'm saying, look, if you want to see the face of Jesus, you're going to die with peaceful and all that. Then you look at me and I look like Jesus to them, and it only costs you $100. Then I take the $100, I put it into the Betty Ford Clinic, and I clean up. See, there won't be flashing no teenage girls anymore. And they were white girls, too. And there was a time when a white man exposed himself to a black man exposed himself to a white girl, he got struck from a tree.
Let me tell you something, man. You need help, man. Right
up. Whoa, man. I mean, why would you bring that
up?
Yeah, why would you bring that up?
I'm scared of what you're doing.
No, brother, now, you got to listen to me. Don't you understand it takes courage for a black man to flash a white girl these days? Because
will you shut up about that, please?
No, hold on. Let me tell you all about that, okay?
What's that?
Right now, okay, I've been around white folks, okay? It's not the point about the race.
Right.
Okay, I've been around a lot. That don't mean I'm going to put my britches down and say, you want to see that, you want to see that. Okay, if you're supposed to be living for the Lord, you ain't supposed to be doing that.
Look, the last thing these old people need is to take the sins and the money to the grave. They might as well give me some of that money. Because they got to give me some of that money so I get the treatment at the Betty Ford Clinic.
That's all you want about your treatment.
Yeah, thank you, Roger.
Every time you go to that liquor store, you don't think about what you're doing.
That's right, Roger. Thank you. 1-800-449-8...
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I got to ask you again, Pastor Rennick. I'm with Pastor William Rennick, Joyful Union Congregation, Bellflower. He's charging $100 to the elderly in his congregation.
No, I think I'm misread. When you say I'm charging $100, that is a donation.
Let me finish setting up for my audience, all right?
That's a donation. You are not representing that accurately.
Well, do they get to see the vision of Jesus if they don't donate the $100?
No, they do not, but that, again, that is not any... You don't have to do that to be a member of our parish. See what I'm saying?
Well, here, let me tell the audience, all right? You're dressing up like you're Jesus. You're floating in on a dolly with a bunch of dry ice smoke, and the special effects makes it look like you're Jesus, so these people with Alzheimer's think you're Jesus. And you're charging them $100 so that you can raise enough money to go to the Betty Ford Clinic because you have an alcohol abuse problem. The judge told you to get treatment because you were arrested for flashing a carload of teenage girls. In which you said, I'll show you the body of Christ. This is the most bizarre thing for you to be practicing as a minister, and then for you to say that you are Jesus Christ.
Mr. Henry, I am ministering to the elderly. They got Alzheimer's disease and all kind of things. If they think I'm Jesus Christ, then I am Jesus Christ. And I can forgive their sin because nothing gives them more peace and nothing soothes their heart like the knowledge that Jesus has forgiven their sin. They go to the hereafter feeling better about themselves.
But you're not Jesus. You can't forgive their sins.
But they think I am. And ain't that worth $100? Now let me tell you something. I built that church up from nothing. Now you tell me I've got the right to charge the money. The people that be lost without me. I got a drinking problem. I admit it. I got to listen to that problem morning, noon, and night. Got to go out and minister some old lady sitting on the front porch with her husband or her boyfriend ran off. I got to sit there. Hell, you drink too.
Well, it's the life you chose.
It's the life I chose. You drink too. You have my job.
Well, I got this job. And I don't drink too much. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jim on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just want to tell this. He ain't no priest. He ain't a pastor.
Will you tell me my job?
The Bible tells you very plainly to beware in the end times of wolves that come before you in sheep's clothing. That's
right.
What you are. You are a drunken fraud
that's
taking these people's money.
Look, are we having a conversation here? Or
this guy wants to start laying the Bible on me. I know the Bible backwards and forward.
You don't know anything.
You're going to bust hell wide open, buddy. I'm going to do what?
You're going to bust hell wide open.
Oh, yeah, now you
better seek Jesus Christ yourself.
He think he's Jesus because he tell me if I'll go to hell or not. You must be Jesus.
Do I want to see him?
You want to see Jesus?
I see him and talk to him every day.
Right now, it costs you $100.
And I sure as hell don't need you.
You see him every day.
In on no buggy.
I want to know, you see him every day?
You doggone right,
yeah,
I do.
Somebody ought to put you away in a rubber room. You see him every day?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Now, let me tell you something.
Somebody ought to put you in a rubber room.
You know, I talk to the
You're
Lord.
A fraud.
I'm a fraud.
You're no pastor. And anybody that does anything to do with you needs to go to a sanitarium.
And I'll tell you something else, Jim. The way you're talking to me, you're talking to Jesus.
Oh, no.
I don't think so, buddy. I got to think whether I'm going to let you go to heaven or not.
I don't think I will.
Wait a minute. Now,
do to get me in
now we're getting off into Weirdville here. You don't really think you're Jesus, do you?
No, I don't think I'm Jesus. He think he's Jesus because he tell me I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to hell. I know where I'm going. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Lord because I've been doing his
tell
work
you what,
on earth.
You look for this old fat Georgia boy down there. I guarantee you I won't be sitting inside of you.
You're going to be down there?
At the right hand of Jesus Christ.
When you were drunk, Pastor Rennick, did you ask one of these girls if she wanted to repent her sins by having her lay down on the body of Christ?
I don't remember, all right? I don't remember. I said I was drinking Bacardi rum with a water back. I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right.
You drink, Jim?
Yeah, that judge should have put you in the jail.
Hey, Jim.
Instead of telling you to go somewhere and get help.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you something.
For your alcoholism.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you something.
You ought to be locked up.
Let me ask you something. What'd you bust up that still in your backyard? Now, you know you got that still in your backyard. When are you going to bust that up?
Oh, come on. Thank you for your call, sir.
Oh, you know it's true.
No, never. 1-800-449-8686.
See, that man, he want to indict me. He said I'm going to go to hell. He said I drink too much. He tell him.
Well, you yourself, you know you drink too much. You want to go to the Betty Ford Clinic.
Damn good place. Now, you go to Betty Ford Clinic, there are people there that could use the gospel. You see, because they're people of power. Now, like that Mariah Carey. I go to the Betty Ford Clinic, I meet Mariah Carey, I can minister to her and let her know she's all messed up. You see what I'm saying?
So in other words, you want to go to the Betty Ford Clinic to treat your alcohol problem because you might run into Mariah Carey.
Because there are people there of power who can influence the world.
Here is Tony on the Phil Hendry Show. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, I just got a quick comment. I hope Mr. Rennick will refrain from yelling. I don't think it's
going to get any. I don't yell. I just witness.
Let me tell you something. If you'll give me just a second. If you'll turn over to 1 Timothy.
I witness.
And I think you'll find out the qualifications for a pastor. And, Mr. Rennick, you fall extremely short.
Wait, you a pastor?
No, sir. My dad is a pastor.
And I can tell you that. What's the name of your church?
Well, that's immaterial, but...
I want to know what church you in.
Well, it's a Baptist church over in South Carolina, but my point
church
is...
My church is badass, too.
He didn't say it was a badass church. He said a Baptist church.
All right, sir.
Okay.
I misheard.
My point is that do you believe that the Scripture is true and correct?
Do I believe what?
Do you believe that the Scripture is true and can be believed?
Well, now, hell, that's a stupid question, isn't it?
Well, I'm just asking to answer the question.
I'm a preacher. I believe that Scripture is true.
Well, let me ask you. I got to ask you a question. Are you drinking?
Me?
Yes.
I have Glenfiddich with a water back.
I'm gonna lose you here. I'm gonna sell.
Go ahead, Tony. You had a Glenfiddich with a water back.
12-year-old yeah.
My point is that if you truly believe that the scripture is true, then the Lord has got to deliver you from the problem that you have, and instead of taking advantage of these older folks and stealing their money, that you should be able to get help. You know what? It don't take.
Check it out.
It doesn't take a courageous man to do what you've done. It takes a drunk fool.
What did I do other than give these old people a reason to live?
Sir, you're a crook.
I'm a crook.
You're a crook, and the Bible says that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Evidently, your fraud has been exposed.
Okay,
your fraud has been exposed.
Absolutely, man.
And I think that sir, I hope. I hope
right,
and pray
the
that you get help
up.
For your problem.
Don't
yeah,
he's an
idiot.
He's an idiot. You haven't looked up a choir mistress's gown either.
No, sir, I have.
Well, you
all right.
All right, everybody.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. So the Presence of Christ program is at Joyful Union Congregation. If you have Alzheimer's and you want to be conned into thinking you see Jesus, call up the preacher there and he'll float in on a dolly with dry ice smoke. With bourbon on his breath, so you'll think Jesus likes the bonded stuff. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am sorry, Mr. McGraw. Any male, and I'm not going to say man, and don't you interrupt me. I am a mother of three boys that would never do it, nor would my husband, and I would stand up and fight anybody.
It's Bin Laden that we're talking about here.
To tell you something.
You know what he did?
Bin Laden, you're just talking about something that you might get your kicks out of seeing and all, but any authority that would not come out and arrest you and any other man
for what
would do that in front of any other man or in front of and on a Christmas lot, you are not a Christian. You are not a good man.
I am very angry that
this is going on, and I can barely hear you, and
I'm
my phone is probably going out, and you are not a man.
Ma'am, we offer...
I hope the authorities will come out and arrest you.
We offer strap-ons for women. And,
oh, man.
Well, Phil, this
you know
coming...
What?
God.
You are lower than Bin Laden.
Wait,
I'm
lower than
you.
Wait
are.
A second. You're
and
accusing...
I am an American, and I am a damn good American, and I would get up if I could and fight. And I know a lot of men over there, but you're not a man. And don't even try and pass yourself off as a man. You don't even belong to the human race.
Wait, Pat, you're trying to tell me you've never put a banana in your pants to see how it feels. Is that what you're saying
you
to me?
You got that.
Oh,
right,
come
Turkey.
On.
And let me tell you something else. I wore white, and I wore it proudly. And I can't imagine any kind of a decent woman married to you.
So Bin Laden gets a pass because Pat thinks...
No,
he
doesn't get a pass. I tell you what. Somebody put him in the zoo, and I would hand out the knife to throw at him. And let him die
all
very
right.
slow,
then
yes. But something like you're doing in front of children,
right.
No, you're not a man.
We gotta
you're
teach
not a
children.
Man.
We got to teach children that these guys are bad.
You're right. We got to teach children that these guys are evil. But you know what? So are you. You
evil.
Do something like that in front of children, you're not worth a piece of dirt.
And I want to ask the question, too, Mr. McGraw. You say you're raising money for charity. Which charities?
Which one?
I would hope they wouldn't take it.
I want to know what the names of the charities that would be taking your money.
We are. It's a very good charity for children.
Named what?
Well, if the ladies...
The McGraw Foundation for his wife and him for kicks.
You know, lady, just because you weren't born a man, don't take it out on me.
Oh, honey, I am terribly glad I was a man, but I tell you, I am married to a man, and I have three boys that are men. You're nothing but... Jacob.
Ask your husband if he wouldn't pass up the opportunity
to
nail old bin Laden in the rear. Sure. Because what we are trying to do is to raise money for charities, and these are the people that are having so much fun.
Pay $5 and $10 for giving it to a dummy, bin Laden, in the butt. And he's doing it in front of children on a Christmas lot. Will you tell him that you're a man and you wouldn't do it? And you served your country.
How stupid are you?
Stupid, sir. I'm trying to give a man a chance to serve his country that wasn't in the military.
It's on the radio. Turn that off.
Now,
my husband doesn't even want to. You're not even in the same universe as we are.
Oh, so your husband has never nailed a guy in the butt.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
My comment to this guy is that, you know, he must, his knuckles drag on the ground. I mean,
well, my knuckles, sir, I'm a father, a husband, and a business owner, and a business leader.
Yeah, but you know what? Anybody who would stoop low enough to take and park in a handicapped spot, that's not being a man. That's being a child. That's being immature.
No, wait a minute.
I mean,
for years we've been told not to park here, not to park there. Nobody tells me what to do. No.
Well, you know what? When you get old and you have to have a handicap sticker, I hope to God that somebody's parking in your spot and you can't go in the store. Because
well,
you know what? No, you're wrong.
I'm going to take care of myself so that I don't need to be on a walker or an oxygen tank. Now,
but you know what?
Well, how do you know, Mr. Green?
Well, I know, Phil, because I'm an old-fashioned American. And the reason why this gentleman's angry is because I'm the guy that has the parking spot and he doesn't.
First of all, I am not angry. I'm very disappointed that you refer to yourself as a man. Okay, because
well,
a real
man...
No,
that,
no.
That's anger. That's anger.
No.
Let the man finish,
A real man allows his woman to be an equal, and she is his partner. She is not a doormat.
Traditional,
okay?
traditional family values. That's what we represent in our family.
She does
what I tell her to do. And
but you know what?
It was good enough for the first 100 years of Americans. Why isn't it good enough now?
Well, haven't things changed?
Well, think of it like this, okay? A wife is your best friend. She's your partner. She's not a doormat.
Oh, that's all that Dr. Laura Baloney. I don't buy that, and you don't either.
Well, I know, but that's why you sleep in a room by yourself, and your wife has a boyfriend
because
she wants a real man.
Oh, is that right? You know this about my life, huh? How do you know that?
Well,
you're just angry because your wife cut your nuggets off the minute you said I do.
No, yeah. I'm not mad. I'm very disappointed.
I'm in charge of my family. My daughter came home the other day. She says to me she wants to bring this Michael over to the house. I said, okay, we'd love to meet him. She said, Daddy, he is... And what's the... They use the word African-American. I said, forget it.
You didn't.
Yes, I did. And I got no prejudice. I got no prejudice. But my daughter is not going to mix with blacks. Now, am I afraid to say that?
That shows how shallow you are, how shallow of a human being you are.
She don't mix with blacks. I tell my daughter, and I have black friends, and I have black business partners.
Good Lord.
Basically what you're saying is that she has an illiterate father, and you are condemning a whole race, and yet
illiterate.
You're the illiterate one.
Illiterate means you can't read. I know how to read. I read a book a month. How many books do you read in a year? But you know what?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about how many people...
You said I was illiterate, which means you can't read. That's the word...
All right, we understand.
No,
we know what illiterate means.
Illiterate means that you do not...
Good old-fashioned American values. Good old-fashioned American values. My daughter don't mix with spades.
Sir, I don't want any of those pejoratives on my show. Do you understand me?
What?
I don't want the word spade on my show.
Wait a minute. How can you be sorry because you park in handicapped spots and you tell your wife what to do? And you must get beat up a lot in your house. I got to say that.
I'm not putting newspapers down on the floor so she can bring some monkey home.
I'm going to tell you one more time, and I'm shocked and I'm amazed that the city of Mercado, California would give a Christmas Business Leader Award to a man who refers to black people as monkeys.
But you see, Mr. Henry, you are tied to political correctness.
Sometimes political correctness is a good thing. Sometimes it's a necessary thing. It maintains our tether to civilization.
I believe in traditional American values.
Let the traditional American values, it says a guy drinks at a different water fountain, says that Indians are on a reservation, you can kill a Native American child.
Oh, Jesus, are you getting, you're really getting dramatic, aren't you? Look, I do what I want in my family.
Good for you.
And you know what? I really
are you still, this guy's still here?
I feel sorry for your kids because, I mean, they're being raised by hypocrites. You take...
I'm not a hypocrite.
You're a dictator.
Some
you're
of my favorites, my friends are black, my workers are black. But my son, I'm going to tell you, you think I'm a dictator? Listen to this. My son is gay. My son lives in the San Francisco Bay Area. He says to me, Dad, I'm getting married. I said, good God, what does that mean? And he married another guy.
So what?
Then he says to me he wants to come down for Christmas with this guy and sleep in the same bed. In the same... I said, forget it. No gays, no gays, no gays. Not
but,
in my
but,
home.
Are you that insecure that if a gay man walked into your house that you want to drop down to your knees and service him? You sound like a very insecure man.
You got sex on your mind, Michael. I tell you what, I got a couple of phone numbers you can call.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. And now, Phil Hendry.
Pastor William Renick is with us from Joyful Union Congregation. Halle Berry, the first black actress to win a Best Actress Award. Let's get that correct, because I'm listening to people.
First black female to win a Best Actress, a Best Actor Award.
Right. The first in the 74-year history of the Academy. And you spoke this morning at Joyful Union Congregation?
Well, we will. They had a number of people questioning the validity of it. Not African-Americans questioning the validity of her winning this award, but I think she did the right thing. And I think that in order for a black woman to win the Academy Award for Best Actress, she had to do what she did. There are people...
Wait, well, what did she do? I mean, she turned in a great performance.
Well, she turned in a performance... The difficulty that we had this morning when I was talking with some of the members of our congregation is that she did expose herself. She had stripped down in the movie and it had a love scene with Billy Bob Thornton, who was a white man. This was some people took exception to this. I said she did what she had to do to bring black women along 74 years.
Right.
They hadn't won a Best Actor Award 74 years! But they got the award with Halle Berry.
You don't... all I'm asking you is, are you saying she won the award because she got naked?
I'm saying she did what she had to do in the movie. Did you see Monsters Ball?
No, I did not. I my wife saw it, and Janice, do you see the movie?
In the film, she has, Phil, a love scene with Billy Bob Thornton. She also takes the top off. So you can see it all. Now, I said to some people...
You have people in your congregation upset with that.
I think they're upset with that, but I told them that's what got her the Academy Award.
What about good acting?
All right, I mean, I don't know. You didn't see the movie.
No, I did not.
I don't think good acting is what comes to mind. I think the thing that comes to mind...
You're telling me that Halle Berry... So I'm clear, Reverend, all right?
Yes.
Halle Berry won the Best Actress Award last night, not because she's talented as an actress, but because she got naked.
She did what she had to do to bring black women along in this country. You need to understand something. There had never been a black female to win a Best Actress Award, ever.
I understand that. I know that.
You know that. And what I said to members of my congregation, I said, don't judge her because she had a scene, a sexual scene in the movie. Because it got her the Academy Award.
Not her good acting.
I think you need to understand we're talking about Halle Berry. She is a wonderful young woman. She's done a great deal for a great many people. And I think it...
But you're saying good acting didn't get her the award, the fact that she got naked.
Let me tell you what... If I could, I would tell you
what I said to people in my congregation. I said, when you do something in service of other people, then it's a good thing ultimately. She knew she wasn't going to win that award based upon her ability as an actress. If that had been the case, Angela Bassett would have won an award. You see what I'm saying?
All right.
I mean, there'd been other women would have won an award, but Halle Berry up for best actress? You got to be kidding me. There's just no way that she's going to...
There's no way she wins on her merits as an actress.
What I'm saying to you, Phil, my hat's off to Halle for bearing her breast to bring blacks to the forefront of entertainment. And to bring black women to the forefront of entertainment. There's no way a young black female wins this award unless she takes her clothes off. And I said to my congregation that when you, even if you strip down, and that's a big thing, because some people would say that that is against the word of God.
Getting naked? I mean, sexually? Promiscuously? On screen?
Some people would say that, but I said to them, even if you get nude, you're serving God so long as you help other people. Now, I think we need to be a little less judgmental and a little bit more understanding of this young woman, because there's no way in hell she's going to win a Best Actress Award based upon what you call talent. She ain't got me. What she doesn't have is a hell of a looking body, and I say that as a man of God. I love God. I love my congregation. I love the people of my congregation.
But Halle Berry doesn't win that award unless she bears her breasts.
That's not all she did, though. She did a very courageous thing. She's got a love scene with a white man. I didn't have to take any black man out there, drive around the bend. I saw that for the first time. I almost went nuts. But I knew she'd done it for her people.
Well,
talent don't win Oscars for black women. Sometimes you've got to show your breath. Sometimes you've got to do something that you would not ordinarily do, but I think in the long run it'd help you out. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I understand. I don't know that I would have bought it.
But you're not a member of our congregation, Phil, because you don't understand. For 33 years I have ministered to these people.
And you tell them that as long as it's in service to others, you can get nude on the screen and show your breasts and everything else. I mean, I'm not judging you, okay? I guess, you know, I'm not the most religious guy.
We've had this conversation before. You're not a religious man. You have to understand, though, that God loves you regardless of what you do, if what you do is for the betterment of everybody else. Halle took her clothes off to move the black woman along. No, she ain't got no talent as an actress. That's got nothing to do with what we're talking about, whether she got talent or not. Everybody knows she don't. What she's got is a damn good-looking body. And I say that as a minister. I love God. You got to know what you got.
I'm going to give her phone number out here.
Yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation. There's two women in your... Are you encouraging women to have breast augmentation?
Oh, there are a couple of young ladies that I was advising, because I started a talent agency about 2 months ago to help bring more and more African-Americans into entertainment. And I had advised two young ladies to get breast augmentation simply because I felt it was the quickest and surest way for a young black woman to move along in the entertainment business.
Where are you getting the money, and are you funding these ladies?
Well, we are using the money from the church fund.
Well, you've got a threatened lawsuit from at least two, a Mr. and Mrs. Beck and a Mr. and Mrs. Carruthers?
That is correct, because they don't understand what we are attempting to do is enrich the lives of young African-American women and men as well, who are trying to break into the professional ranks in entertainment.
So you're using church money to give breast augmentation.
I am not doing it.
But you're funding breast enhancement surgery for young women in your congregation, so as it says here, they can do what Halle Berry did.
Halle Berry has been an inspiration. I don't know what it is you're trying to say.
Well, what you're saying is here, as long as she's got great-looking breasts, let's get breast augmentation for the young black ladies in your congregation. So what, so they can win a Best Actress Award?
I'm telling you, Halle Berry took a top off and moved a generation of black women along.
Because she's not a very good actress.
She's not a good actress. Everybody knows she's not a good actress. Everybody knows she's not good. That got nothing to do with that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick, who was speaking at his church this morning, said Halle Berry got naked in Monsters Ball and it got her an Academy Award. I asked him, what about her talent as an actress? And he says it's well known she doesn't have any. And on top of that, if that's what it takes, that's good. Now, he's also used church money to fund breast enhancement surgery for young women in his congregation, and he's being threatened with a lawsuit by at least two different families because the money is coming from church funds. Why? Because if it's good for Halle Berry, it's good for the girls in his church. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
No, but you hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Reverend Halle Berry, in other words, has large breasts, and that's what got her the Academy Award.
No, what I said to you, Mr. Hendry, and I really regret and resent you mischaracterizing what I'm saying. I'm saying what got her over the top for the award was her willingness and her courage to open her blouse up and show what God gave her. Now, you know and I know she could not do it out of a wet paper sack, but what she did do, she did something a lot of young black actresses have not had the courage to do, and that's to show herself as a woman.
You said then making love to a white man on screen.
I think that takes a lot of guts to some black women to do, especially on screen. You misunderstand what I'm saying. The public's got a right to see them because part of the money that she spent to have them things made bigger come from the box office money that the people paid for, white and black.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me move on to a phone call here. Dee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I want to say something to Riddick, and I'm not going to even call him a pastor because
my anyone
that considers himself a pastor would not make that type of a comment over the air about any black young lady, especially one like Halle Berry, which did not, mind you, have to take her clothes off to show the great talent that she,
you know,
the performance that she has done over the years,
she
not just
no
in Monsters Ball, but over the years, all the talent that she has instilled in her. She didn't have to take a stitch of clothes off. She could have walked out there with
any pants
on.
She didn't want no work.
You're really ignorant, Riddick. You are ignorant because you got on national air, and you're saying that this black woman that has come forth and did a great thing in the United States, in America for that reason, for all of the black women in America to say that she wouldn't have gotten it if she hadn't taken her clothes off.
Dee, this is Phil Hendry. Let me ask the Reverend a question. Are you saying that every African-American actress has to take her clothes off?
No, I did not say that. Now, and I resent that as well, Mr. Hendry.
I'm asking you, are you Angela Bassett, would she have to take her clothes off?
Angela Bassett's a fantastic actress, but how many Best Actress awards she win? You got it? None. And the first time we get a young black woman win a Best Actress, what'd she do? She opened her blouse up, took her panties off, boom! She
had nothing to do with her taking her clothes
you
off.
You know full well it's up because she ain't got no talent. She's a beautiful young lady.
She has lots of talent. If she didn't have talent, she wouldn't be in the movie.
Name a movie she's been in that she's been good in.
And for you to take funds from the church, tithes and offering from the church, and assign them or deliberately give those funds to people or to young women to enhance their breasts because you think it's going
to
make them a better person or make them have any better is foolish on your part as a minister, as a man, period.
Sister, you know what? Halle Berry won a Best Actress Award last night.
You're the first person I even heard say anything about that. And you know what? That's foolish for you to even think that way.
Everybody
a pastor on top of that to think that way? No.
Now, let me ask you
are out of line.
All right,
control,
I'll ask you
totally out of control.
I'll ask you a question. How come last night, when she gave her acceptance speech, she thanked a plastic surgeon?
Well, she did not. She did
wait
not
a minute.
Thank a plastic
I didn't.
Surgeon.
She thanked her lawyer. She thanked the agent. She said, and thanks to Dr. Goldberg or some Jew name like that.
That's not a plastic surgeon. If you knew who he was, then you would know that the man that she was thanking as doctor had nothing to do with her breath.
Well, what kind of doctor is he?
You want to know what kind of doctor he was?
Yeah.
He was a doctor, just like you. If you were a doctor, Dr. Rennick, that's the type of doctor he was. He had something to do with her career. He had nothing to do with her,
her
body
in
the change of her body.
Her. He gave her a 44 double D. That's what he got
from
her career.
No,
wait a minute.
You're totally out of line.
Wait, I don't remember him.
To back that up.
She might have said, Doc, you don't know that was a plastic surgeon.
That was not a plastic surgeon. There's no way that you could have known that was a plastic surgeon. You just assumed. Like an ASU, like everyone else, you assume
that
that's
what he
meant.
Doctor,
that is
he
not
cured
true.
Her crab, but something had to do with it. Now I say he was a boob doctor. And I say,
well, you don't know that he was a, quote, boob doctor, okay?
You're talking out of your head. You don't even know who he was.
Sister, I've been saying nothing but good things here about this young lady.
You haven't said anything
good other than the fact
that what you've told the public here is that the only thing good that you said is how ignorant and foolish you really are.
Ma'am,
that's what you said.
I got two young ladies in my congregation who are trying to get the boob enhancement surgery going right now. So that
and you're using the church money to get breast enhancement for these young women.
And you think God would really look down on you and say good things,
yeah,
Pastor Reddick?
I wouldn't do anything
going
for Jesus.
Keep up the good work? Pastor Reddick.
I would do
if
anything.
If you want to consider yourself pastor, I really don't consider you a pastor.
You
anyone that would talk like you could possibly be a pastor.
You know, the only one that got to concern me a pastor is Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. And I'd get down on my hands and knees for Jesus. And you may not like this, I'd get on my hands and knees and stick my butt up in the air for Jesus. Whatever I got to do, I got to...
Okay, thank you very much, Dee, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. What you're saying here is that a young African-American women can't make it in show business unless they have breast enhancement.
I'm saying that a lot of young black women ought to take a tip from Halle Berry. What, I'm not the only one that sees this. The first woman to get a Best Actress Award for being a black woman, she got boobs. I mean, she got a pair of cans on her.
And for a preacher to talk the way you do.
I'm Mr. Henry. I will do anything to help my congregation. I'm not trying to talk dirty or anything, but I'll do anything to help my congregation. And if that means I got to give them 5 G's or 10 G's, get them things enhanced out and everything like that, I'll do that too.
1-800-449-8686. Here's Donna on the Phil Henry Show. Donna, go ahead.
Mr. Rennick, I agree totally with Dee. I can't see how you could actually tell people that you're a pastor. That you get in front of
I read the Bible every morning.
And actually
you
tell young women, number one, that they have to bear skin to actually be an actress.
How come no one a black woman won an award
for years and years?
Oh,
and
yeah?
She has shown skin in the past.
Just
that
so
has
happens she wins the
it.
Best Actress Award when she let them flashlights go on.
Rennick.
She turned on their high beams.
And you talk to any psychiatrist, and they're going to tell you before you start passing out money for young women to get actually any kind of augmentation, they need to go through some kind of psychologist and making sure that they're aware.
Making sure they want to see. One woman
you
needs
to
go to head trigger.
You have placed yourself above God, and that's the problem.
God, I'm doing the will of God. I'm doing the bidding of God.
You are offensive. I cannot believe that you even still have a congregation.
How are you figuring
Halle Berry deserves every award that she's ever gotten.
Halle Berry ain't never got no award until she showed a couple of high beams. She ain't never got no award until she pulled a blouse off. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's not true.
Oh, yeah? What award she win?
That is not true.
Well, what award she win?
The reason she got it was because she pulled a blouse off.
What
are you going to say to Sidney Poitier years ago when look who's coming to dinner and he was sitting there with a white woman?
Huh? Well, because everybody don't care about a black man.
Is it different?
I'm talking about a black
different
woman.
For a man than a woman?
And let me tell you,
you're offensive.
The Soul Train Awards don't
count.
You can't count,
even so call yourself a pastor.
Well, you know, I read the Bible every day.
Well, it takes more than reading a Bible.
Well, do you know the Bible?
Yes, and I want to tell you
right.
something. It takes more than just reading the Bible to lead the flock,
wherever
and you're not
you
there.
You find me, you will find wherever it is.
You're not
you,
leading the flock.
You will find me. You find two plastic surgeons making a woman's boobs bigger. She's going to be there too, because that all that does is try to help a young woman out.
Try to help a young woman. Well, one of the things you're doing is you're taking money from your congregation and you're giving it to these ladies without the approval of the congregation.
I'm the pastor. I can do with the church fund what I think is right. And if it takes moving a young lady along into the successful world of entertainment by giving her, a boob.
It's called breast enhancement.
I mean, breast enhancement. Then I think that is the right thing to do.
All right, here's Susan on the Phil Henry Show. Susan.
Yes?
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Hi, you can hear me?
Yes, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. Go ahead.
The first thing I'd like to say is the status of this gentleman as a pastor or not is irrelevant to the argument he's making.
No, because the bottom line is
Halle Berry has talent. And
right.
You need to recognize that.
Sure.
She's a beautiful woman, but she's a talented woman. And if you saw a movie like Introducing Dorothy Dandridge, you would know that she's a talented woman. Clearly.
You wouldn't take to be Dorothy Dandridge other than look good. That's all it takes. Walk in a gown.
Did you not see that movie? Did you have the sound turned down? What is your problem?
All she do in that movie is squeeze the boobies together with her arms. I'm Dorothy Dandridge. Then she walk off scene.
You know what?
Hold
you
on. Hey, Susan. Susan, hold the line.
Problem,
Susan,
huh?
I want you to hold the line, Susan. All right, we have to take a break, but hold on. All right?
Okay.
All right. You too, Reverend. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Renick, who believes Halle Berry, the only reason why she won the Best Actress Award last night is because she has large breasts and she was willing to show them on camera. And he is also helping young women in his parish get breast enhancement with church.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Pastor William Renick is with me. He says that from Joyful Union Congregation, which is where, Pastor?
Bellflower, California.
Bellflower. Halle Berry, the only reason why she won the Best Actress Award is because she showed her breasts in the movie.
Will you name me any other black actors that won a Best Actress Award?
Well, that's not the point.
You name me one other black actors that won.
I mean, they've won supporting.
No, I mean the number one role in Best Actress Award. Name one.
None.
All right, the first one to come along and win it, because she opened up a blouse and let the sun shine in. And that's what I'm talking about.
And that's why you're helping young girls in your congregation get breast enhancement surgery.
I have had a very debilitating battle with alcoholism. I've been 6 weeks at Betty Ford Clinic to dry out. And I'm very embarrassed to admit that, but it is a costly event to try to get myself dried out and get back over.
So now the money that you raise from the careers of these young ladies will be used to dry you out at the Betty Ford Clinic. Am I hearing you properly?
Mr. Henry, you knew that when I called your producer and asked to be on your program.
1-800-449-8686. Here is Susan. Thanks for holding on, Susan. Go ahead. Susan,
can you hear me right now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. What's the argument that we're making right now?
Okay, why are you calling? Let's put it that way.
I'm calling to tell the Reverend that he's completely focused on the wrong aspect. He's being very manly in this respect as opposed to...
I'll ask you the same question that I asked the host of the show.
If all he's focused on is her breast, then he's losing the entire point.
I'll ask you the same question I asked the host.
Wait a minute, Susan, can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead, Reverend.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Mr. Henry. Name me one other actress who's black that won a Best Actress Award.
I don't know of another black actress.
Yeah, that's right. You want to know why? Because they didn't have the body that Halle Berry got.
I'm sure that doesn't have everything to do with it.
Well, she's not a great actress, is what you're saying, Reverend. And there are a lot of people that will obviously disagree with you.
Who's going to disagree with you? Everybody know Halle Berry had got enough. She couldn't act her way out of a wet paper sack.
You know, you've said that once,
that's
so you need
right,
to come up
said,
with a different line.
Well, you know what? You need to come up with a different line and give me an example when she is a good actress. Because you ain't got one.
Introducing Dorothy Dandridge. That's what I'm saying. Did you not see that movie?
She walked out and squeezed her boobs together and then walked off.
She didn't walk out and squeeze her boobs together.
That's
I don't know
exactly
what you're talking about.
I'm talking about she in that white dress, right? And she walked out and she pushed her arms together like, will you please light my cigarette? And the boob come popping out. Now, that's the reason why everybody loved that movie. And by the way, that movie wasn't out in the movie theater. That's a made-for-TV movie. That don't count.
But
so
whatever
what? She's
it made-for-TV
movie. She's still a talented actress.
A talented actress wins herself, gets herself in more movies than Viva Rock Vegas or the Flintstones.
All right. Reverend, good luck.
Good luck on what?
Good luck getting dry. Are you trying to tell me that you're using the money from the breast enhancement of young ladies? I mean, from the...
No, what we do, Mr. Henry, is we try to give young black women the pride to go out into the professional world and achieve the things that Halle Berry's achieved. I'm not saying that Halle Berry's a bad person. I love Halle Berry. I'm proud of what she's done.
You're proud of what she did. She went out and got a boob job or something, got herself a best actress.
I'm proud of what she did. I say to the young women in our congregation, why don't you get a boob enhancement job? Then you go out and get yourself a movie star job. Then once you make $1 million,
you take 10%.
Because I happen to have a talent agency, yes.
And you use that 10% to get yourself dried out at the Betty Ford Clinic.
All we're saying is this is an opportunity.
Isn't that right? You use the 10% of the money that these girls make to dry yourself out at Betty Ford. And what is Boobs for Jesus?
That happens to be our congregational program.
And you call it that, Boobs for Jesus?
Yes, sir. And you got a problem with that? You know, I find it very interesting. Every time a black man try to make a couple of dollars, white man comes along with an opinion about it. So you can go out and do anything you want.
Well, why don't you just call it Black Boobs for Jesus? How about that?
It's a good idea. Let me write that down.
Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is the Phil Henry Show. That's the one thing we wanted to mention. Then the other thing is this, that 45 years ago today, a Montgomery City bus stopped in front of the Empire Theater. The driver got up and told a black seamstress by the name of Rosa Parks that she would have to give up her seat for white passengers. Well, as you know, that event, which touched off the Montgomery bus boycott and began the modern civil rights movement, is recreated now inside a new museum honoring Parks. The museum opens today on the site of the old theater in Montgomery. Rosa Parks, who's now 87, will be in Montgomery today, or was in Montgomery today, when Troy State University Montgomery dedicates the Rosa Parks Library and Museum. And joining her will be such civil rights figures as Martin Luther King III, Andrew Young, Jesse Jackson, Maya Angelou, and actress Cicely Tyson. Inside the museum, visitors will get a chance to see and feel a little of what segregated Montgomery was like 45 years ago. The highlight of the museum is a bus that was used in Montgomery at the time of her arrest. Now, you look in the bus windows, and visitors see a video that recreates the famous conversation between Parks and the bus driver. "Are you going to stand up?" the driver asked. "No," Parks answered. "Well, by God, I'm going to have you arrested," the driver said. "You may do that," Parks responded. And that was quite a moment. I want to bring on the line with us Pastor William Renick from a Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California. And Pastor Renick is at his office there at Joyful Union and is going to talk to us from a very unique perspective because you were on that bus as well, weren't you, Pastor?
I was in 1955 on December the 1st of 1955. And I was a young college student. I was attending the Montgomery Bible College. I was 23 years of age.
And you found yourself on that bus?
I was on that bus. It was traveling across town from the Montgomery Bible College. I was headed across town to Deaver, where I lived to change my clothes.
Deaver?
That's a part of Montgomery, yes, sir. And I was going to my job as a security watchman at Turner's, which was a big department store downtown.
So there you are on this bus. You had no idea that this bus was going to make history, that Miss Parks was going to make history, right?
No, sir, I did not. But I will tell you that God put me there to teach me a very special lesson, to help me bring that lesson to my congregation.
Yes, sir.
And I think that lesson is that intolerance will not stand, and that kind of segregation will not stand.
All right, now I want to ask you a little question here because you were having a conversation with Miss Parks, is that right?
Yes, sir. I had heard this lady talk, and there are people People don't know this, but Rosa Parks was originally in the back of the bus.
All right. So she had moved up?
Yes, she had. And I heard this lady talking in the back of the bus, and she's going on and on about Mickey Mantle. And how...
She's talking baseball?
Yes, she was talking about the World Series, and how the World Series was stolen from the New York Yankees, and how the Brooklyn Dodgers stole the series. And she's going on and on about Jackie Robinson. I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. And I heard her say that Jackie Robinson was overrated and how he might be the first colored man to play in the major leagues, but that don't make him the best player. And she thought she thought the sun rose and set, and she said that she thought the sun rose and set in Mickey Mantle's, and I'm going to fill in the word here because she used a harder word, in Mickey Mantle's butt.
She thought the sun rose and set in Mickey Mantle's butt.
That's right.
Rosa Parks.
That's correct. So, I'm listening to this.
Now, so she's talking baseball, huh?
That's correct.
Now, this is 1955, so this is the 1955 series.
That's the 1955 series. The Brooklyn Dodgers had beat the New York Yankees. And they had beat them on the strength of Jackie Robinson. And I was a big Brooklyn Dodger fan.
And you guys are down in Montgomery, Alabama, and she's talking baseball.
She's a New York Yankee fan. And so I said to her, I said, Miss...
So you started to talk to her.
I started to talk to her. She was sitting in the seat of the car. There were about three or four of us talking about the World Series. There were about three men and a couple of ladies going on and Mickey Mantle this and Yogi Berra that on it. And I said, Miss, the Bible tells us to do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And don't knock people behind their back.
All right, so you told her about the Bible.
I said to that. She says to me, well, now, are you a baseball fan? I said, I'm a Jackie Robinson fan. And she looked me up and down, and she said, you know what? You do look like a Brooklyn Dodger fan. And with that, she...
All right, so she looked you up and down and said, you look like a Brooklyn Dodger fan.
That's correct.
Rosa Parks.
Rosa Parks.
Then what?
And she was angry, and she got up, and she moved toward the front of the bus. I said, now, you, what you think you're going to do up there? And she said, I'm going to sit anywhere you ain't. And I said, well, that's where white folks sit. And she, I said, you'll be right back here in a minute. And she said, watch me. She said, dig this. And she sat right there in that seat.
So Rosa Parks moved to the front of that bus 45 years ago because she didn't want to sit next to a Brooklyn Dodger fan.
That's right.
Because she was a New York Yankee fan.
That is correct. And I said to her, I said, you know that's where the white folks sit. You'll be right back here in a minute. And she said, well, I'm going to sit here. I said, all right, but you'll be back. And sure enough, the bus stopped at Johnson and Terramac, which is right in front of the Empire Theater. And I remember a movie. I'll never forget. I saw the movie right up there.
What was playing? You're in front of a movie theater.
That's correct.
What was playing?
A movie called King's Rhapsody with Errol Flynn. And it was on a twin bill with Night of the Hunter with Robert Mitchum.
A Robert Mitchum movie and an Errol Flynn movie.
That's right. And that white man, that's when a white man got on. He said, I want to sit down. She said, no. And she got arrested. And she said that she was not going to get up, and then she had to sit back with a Brooklyn Dodger fan. Said, I ain't going to move.
All right, now history makes no record of her saying, I'm not going to sit down there with a Brooklyn Dodger fan. It's just, you heard what I said.
That's right, but she said she had made an indication she did not want to sit back there with me.
So rather than sit with a Brooklyn Dodger fan, she got arrested.
That's correct. That was 1955, December 1st. On a crosstown bus in Montgomery, Alabama. I was there.
Wow. Well...
Yeah, she ain't no civil rights activist.
Well, we don't know about that, because I do know that the bus boycotting and the economic boycotting had already begun, hadn't it?
Well, there was some noise being made. There were people trying to organize, but nobody got organized until she did that.
I mean, she was a woman coming back from work, I understand that, but she was also, hadn't she been in touch with some of these groups?
Not that I know. All I know is she's a baseball fan. She's a seamstress and a baseball fan. And she don't want to sit down with no Brooklyn Dodger fan. And that's all I heard.
All right, Pastor Rennick, hold the line here. 1-800-449-8686. Pastor William Rennick, who claims to have been on that bus in Montgomery in 1945. He was 23 years of age. He was a Bible college student. And apparently Rosa Parks moved to the front of that bus and sat where the white people are supposed to sit because she didn't want to sit next to him. He was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. And apparently the Dodgers and Yankees, as you know, had just been in the World Series. First win by the Brooklyn Dodgers over the New York Yankees. So she was a Yankee fan. She didn't like Jackie Robinson. She thought the sun rose and set in Mickey Mantle's rear end. And that's why she moved to the front of the bus. And the quote is, he said, "Where are you going?" She said, "Anywhere you ain't."
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yes, I am a teacher, and I see and I teach children every day that their parents struggle to put food on their table. And this year, they are
black.
Looking towards having a Christmas very sad and very drear.
And they're black.
No, they are not. They are white, ma'am. They are as white as the people in that Christmas carol.
Okay.
And I understand that it's, and you need to understand that it was set in England.
Mm-hmm.
That is why there are no African Americans in that story.
I was
but
in London.
The carol.
I was in London. I saw a Negro in London.
At that time in the history of Great Britain, the British Empire had not yet collapsed to the point where their African subjects were moving back to the British Isle.
Well, what kind of gobbledygook is that?
It's history.
That's a bunch of there's Negroes in England. I've seen one.
There is now, yes. But at that time, there was not as many as there are now.
Mm. Well, you know what?
And second of all, this story is can be adapted to any culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the people. It's not the characters. It's just the lesson. It has been adapted on television.
Can I ask
you as a teacher?
There's
an African-American Scrooge.
Can I ask you as a teacher?
Yes,
why
go ahead.
Why is Jacob Marley depicted as a dumb Southerner?
As far as I remember, he's not. He is coming back to teach a lesson.
Yes.
He's coming back to help his friends.
Yeah, he was the dumb one that died, and he was from something like Texas.
What? England. It wasn't Texas.
Y'all, Scrooge, y'all better be better.
Who was that? Is that your husband?
Yes.
Mr. Dooley, I never heard Jacob Marley use the phrase y'all. Never in all of the theatrical adaptions of this. Now, I have to say, I've never read it. It's a long, and have you read it, Jennifer? You being a teacher, I'm sure you have.
I have read it.
Okay,
yes.
It's a long.
And I do not remember anywhere in there introducing him as someone from Texas. I don't know. I don't understand where you've gotten that from.
Jacob Marley, you don't.
No, they never said that Scrooge's ex-partner, originally from Texas.
I've never. Never.
You know,
I don't
really
remember that at all.
I'm a mother, and I know that you're a teacher, Jennifer, and we want the same things.
I don't think we do, ma'am. No.
The poor white kids in your class, are their parents married to black men?
No, they're not.
Are their mothers married to black men? Are you sure?
No.
Why?
Yes,
why
I'm sure.
It's possible.
I saw them today at a Christmas play, and they are a very loving family. And they struggle every day. And I'm not just talking about one family.
You know, Jennifer, what I'm worried about with the depiction of Tiny Tim, a lot of the retards, and are the mentally challenged, I just don't want to see a mob of tards hobbling down Main Street, leg braces raised high, leaving a trail of drool, coming to kill all the two-leggers. What?
I think that just about ended that bit.
What did?
A trail of drool coming to kill all the two-leggers. That's marvelous. Okay.
Y'all Scrooge better.
Oh, shut up.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The last gasp before the death of radio.